Life for you turn book of Ephesians, and chapter number 1. There's a phrase in the midst of what we're going to read this morning that has often gripped my heart. There is something that I have found in life that is tremendous. First of all, let me ask you, have you ever done something stupid? How many of you would say to me this morning, I'm really good at it? I mean, I'm so good at it, I make it a daily practice to do something stupid. How many would really, you'd say that? Okay. We have a lot of liars in here. How many would really say that this morning? I mean, some of you got your hands up, but probably should be more. All right. Now let me ask you this. We who do these stupid things, how often through those things do we hurt other people? Would you say often? Yeah. Here's what's really neat that happens when they forgive us. Amen. When they forgive us. How do you know they forgive us? How do you know? Normally, in my case, I've got to ask them to. Many times they already have, but I don't know it until I've asked them to. Now, there's been a few times I thought I did something smart and somebody said, I forgive you. But now I had to forgive them. Because I thought they were being a smart aleck. But seriously, isn't that wonderful to be forgiven? Let's go on the other side of the porch for a moment. And we sit on one side and it's wonderful to be forgiven. But isn't it a great relief to the soul when you can forgive? Seriously. Well, you don't have to carry that thing around any longer. You've just given it up. Yeah. Well, I want us to look here in chapter number 1, the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses. We certainly could read the entire book. What a great, great book. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Notice who he's writing to. To the saints. What's a saint? A saint is simply a saved person. One who has been forgiven by God. Because all those saintly things that we aren't, they're gone. He's forgiven us. Amen? So nice writing to those. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Notice the phrase, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Those who were here on Wednesday night, you remember, we talked about why we're here, the purpose God has given us. And notice again verse number 12, that we should be to what? The praise of His glory. Wow. Who first trusted in Christ. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning for this wonderful book. Lord, I do not know why You have allowed this voice to become even softer this morning. But we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Lord, I understand that there are many, many things in this world that are beyond our comprehension. But You have certainly wanted us to realize that we can have the forgiveness of Almighty God. I pray, O God, this morning that this phrase might become very real, and that many of these verses might have a reality in our heart and our soul as never before. Bless and work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we speak of the concept of forgiveness, we must remember that the ability to forgive is original with God. It is far more awesome, I think, than we realize when we consider who God is and who we are. When we stop and consider this morning that you and I are born in sin. In other words, we are born with a sin nature. And we realize this morning everything we do that is called sin is against God. In the book of Psalms, David said it very well. In chapter 51, the great repentance psalm, he said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Anything that puts Him in a secondary position in our life is sinful. For He is to have the preeminence of our life. We were made to bring glory and honor to Him. As it says in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. But anything less than that is sinful. And yet our God is so willing to forgive us. All of those actions, all of those thoughts, all those intents within our hearts, God is willing to forgive us, to not hold us accountable for it. It's interesting. Even more exciting to me, maybe I can't say more, but added to that excitement is the fact that God not only forgives, but He gives abundantly above. In other words, God in His mercy does not, when we put our trust in Him, does not hold us accountable for our sin any longer. But God in His grace is willing not only to not hold us accountable, but to give us blessings on top of that. In other words, God can forgive you of your sin and never take you to heaven. You just be forgiven, but never know the joys of glory. And yet God has extended us and will do exactly that. Some of you here were last night, you recall that I mentioned a very good friend of mine for many, many years. He was in our church not too awful long ago. Brother Ken Fraley went to be with the Lord this last Friday. And now in eternity. And as the days come and go, we find literally hundreds of people that we have known who are now in glory, experiencing the wonders and the beauties of heaven. One of these days, I'm going to be with the Lord. Whether it be through death or whether it be through the rapture, I'm kind of looking forward to the trumpet call. Kind of looking forward to that day when, I mean, the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up together with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe the day is very fast approaching. It could be today. So our God not only forgives, but He gives. I want you to notice verse number 4. He says He's blessed us. And then He says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Without blame. Wow. I don't know how it is in your household, but in my house, we had 7 children. 6 of them lived and 1 I never saw. His name was not me. And not me got blamed for everything. I'm serious. Not me. I mean, he did this, he did that, he did the other thing. Or maybe it was she. I'm not sure. I never even learned whether or not me as boy or girl, but certainly in the family. If you're the oldest, you can always say, it was the one younger. Mary did that a lot. To her sister Bobby. Virginia did that a lot to her sister Mary. Still does. But consider this. Oh, we can blame so many, and many times we can get blamed, but He says without blame. I mean, think about that for a moment. There is nothing that God holds against us whatsoever. Verse number 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now don't get all messed up as so many do today. Predestination is a biblical term. It is a doctrine in the Word of God, but it does not mean that you are predestined to be saved. You're predestined to go to heaven. That's not what it's talking about. It doesn't mean that certain people in this room, they're predestined to go to hell because God hasn't predestined you to go to heaven. Okay? I'm not like the guy who walked down the steps, stepped on a skate, and his feet came out from under him. He went down to the bottom of the steps, and he looked back up, and he says, boy, am I glad that's over with. What we're talking about here is something very simple. When you and I put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, He's forgiven us of our sins. He has predestinated. In other words, we are for sure then going to be the sons of God. John chapter 1 teaches us, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. And so we find here that we have been predestined to adoption. I I was taking biology and began to understand how things came about. And I remember one day thinking, I have a brother that's 20 years older than me. I have a brother that's 18 years older than me. I have a brother that's 17 years older than me. I have a sister that's 10 years older than me. And then I came along. I don't think I was planned. For my children, I want you to understand, I didn't plan on any of you. Sometimes they get big heads, right? And I discovered that day I was a mistake, I think. But do you realize that when somebody adopts another, it's planned. There's great forethought that goes into it. There is great finances that go into it. There is much that must be accomplished in order to adopt. And by the way, if you are adopted, you ought to stop and think about that. By the way, by law, an adopted child has more rights than a natural born. That's interesting. And you and I have the privilege, because we've put our faith and trust in Christ, to be adopted into His family. Notice verse number 6, "Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." This one has particular meaning to me because often through life, I have felt like the black sheep. Hey, if you're number 5 and everybody's so much older than you and you're looking at them and saying, man, you're the same age as my uncle. And then when they all had red hair and I didn't. And I was just this little guy about like this, and I was looking up at my brother who was 6'3", and I thought, this is the tallest man in the world. He's a 3 up now. Anyway, I always just felt left out. Like I just missed it. How many remember when ski jackets first came into existence? How many even know what I'm talking about? I don't even know how to describe this to the rest of these folks. But they were no longer made out of wool. And they were slick and shiny and they were really neat. And all the kids were getting them and I wanted a ski jacket so badly. And finally my mother bought me a ski jacket and it didn't look like any of the other kids. And I don't know, why can't she ever get anything right? Seriously, just felt left out. And then to find us in the Word of God, He made us accepted in the Beloved. Notice verse number 9. It says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath proposed in Himself." God allows you and I to understand what He wants and how He is operating. Verse 11 talks about obtaining inheritance. We have some things awaiting for us. Why? Because God is willing to forgive us. Forgiveness. I want us to think about two things this morning with this word forgiveness. First of all, the forgiveness of God. But secondly, also the forgiveness of man. How wondrous it is that we can have both of these. How beautiful it is that we can participate in the second one and be participants of His forgiveness in the first. But let me remind you of something. Forgiveness comes with confession. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's consider a couple of things about forgiveness. Forgiveness never takes away the wages of sin. Are you listening? It never takes away the wages of sin. That is set in concrete. That is a law of the universe. For every cause, there is an effect. For everything sown, there is a reaping. It is a scientific, it's a biblical fact. It can never be reversed. But when one forgives, the wages of that sin is accepted by the forgiver. Think about it. If you have a debt to me, and you owe me some money, and I forgive you of that debt, I have accepted that debt as my own. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, what did He do? He came as a man to accept our debt. And thus He died. Because the wages of sin is what, brethren? Death. And He died in our place. He hung upon that tree in our place. And the law of sowing and reaping can never be reversed, but those wages of our sin are accepted by the forgiver. And so there upon the cross, may I say to you, the cruelest of all deaths was used to demonstrate His sacrifice for the vilest of sinners. You and I have the privilege of forgiveness because He was willing to accept the debt of our sin. The shedding of His blood in the wounds to His head by the thorns, I believe represent to you and to me the terrible thoughts that we have that are against men and against God. And yet He was willing to allow that to take place that we might be forgiven. The wounds to His hands and His feet by the nails that pierced them represent the things that we do that are wrong and the places that we attend that are sinful. And yet He was willing to what? Receive that for you and for me. That which pierced His side and the spear went in and the blood and the water flowed from it represents, may I say to you, the evil of our hearts. And yet Jesus Christ was willing to accept the wages of our sin, to forgive us, if you will. But forgiveness is not known until we want it. Until we ask for it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. I've had people do some things against me, and in my heart I had forgiven them. But they never knew it until they came and asked. I've had people forgive me and I never knew it until I went and I asked. I had some semblance of thought because of the way they acted towards me and I thought, my, there's a great love pouring out. And isn't that what God does? But then I learned of it when I asked. You and I today, as we go to God in our faith and our trust in Him, can have the forgiveness of sin. But may I say to you, the forgiveness of God will do something in your heart and life as you understand it more greatly. There's a verse in the Bible. It's an interesting verse. We find it in John chapter 8, verse 32. It says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now hold on just a moment. There's something we need to understand about that verse. Will the truth set you free if you don't know it? You see, the truth is Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. But until you know that for yourself, you're not set free. That's why the verse says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." There has to be the knowledge of that. May I say to you this morning, the proportion of the knowledge of the realization of how much the Lord has forgiven us of generates within us a greater love, as you and I recognize from where we came from. You and I will have a greater God as we understand and recognize how much He has forgiven us of. Listen to this in Luke chapter 7. "Wherefore," and the Lord Jesus Christ saying, He said unto thee, "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Do you know why a lot of God's people don't love the Lord as they should? Because they have a very proud attitude and they believe that they are God's gift. They believe that they are so wonderful and do not recognize from whence God has drawn them. If you're saved today, God drew you out of a well that is so deep with sin. It runs so black and stagnant, and yet God was willing to lift us up out of that and to forgive us. Amen. And the more we recognize that, and the more we internalize that, and the more understanding we get of that, the greater our love is to Him. I remember years ago, we had a guy come to our church. He was going to the mission field. He'd been a biker. He even had a picture of him when he was on his chopper. Long flowing hair, sitting on there with a proud look on his face. He had formed the outlaw group that he was a part of. I don't remember the name of it, but they were, like many of those outlaw groups, very mean. Cruised about looking for fights, whatever trouble. And God saved his soul. He gave his testimony, and my, how he loved the Lord and what God had done for him. And I thought to myself, boy, I wish I'd been saved out of something like that so I could love the Lord like He did. I wasn't a biker. Bought one after I got saved. Only outlaws that I know are here. Then one day I was reading the Bible. I was reading about the Apostle Paul. And Paul said this. He said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'd read other things about Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a religious man. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. Man, he stood for the things of God. And yet he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners." And all of a sudden, it dawned upon me. Religious people, if we'd really stop and look at it, we're putting something way ahead of God. It's our own wondrous ways, we think. Pride and arrogance. And it began to come into my heart and my mind. Paul, if there's an argument I'm going to make in the Word of God, that is, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But God was willing to reach down and forgive me. And the more I realize that, and the more I understand that, the greater love I can have to God. Amen? But there's another point I'd like for us to consider this morning. That is, not only the forgiveness of God, but the forgiveness of other people. The forgiveness of other men. It ought to be as unlimited as God's is. Listen to these words in Matthew. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Have you ever wondered that? He said, till 7 times. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee seven until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Wow. It just kind of sounds like we just kind of keep on doing it. If we're going to be like God, we must forgive. Our problem with forgiveness is between individuals is that oftentimes one of the parties doesn't seek it. And thus, they might not ever know that it's taken place in your heart. Do you realize that forgiveness of others ought to come before our very sacrifices? Really? Matthew chapter 5, the Lord said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. See, preacher, what if he won't accept it? Well, you've done what God said to do. Oh, how we need to be a people who are willing to forgive others. How wonderful it is when we experience forgiveness. And many of you rehearsed that earlier. But how wonderful it is too when we can learn how to forgive. Forgiveness certainly ought to be reciprocal. When somebody does it to us, we ought to do it to them. The Lord Jesus in Mark, chapter 11 said, when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, then your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. If we're not willing to forgive, why should we expect it? Oh, how we need to learn that. As we grow older, there's something that's going to happen. You're going to have every day and with every week and with every passing year more people and more people doing things that are offensive to you. You're going to have things happen that hurt you. It's life. Wherever we go, no matter where it is, it's going to happen. You say, the only place I go to is church. It'll happen in church. Because the folks who sit in churches are sinners too. And we have this horrible ability to be offensive and to be hurtful. But something we must learn is to have a forgiving spirit. For if we have an unforgiving spirit, it will lead us to bitterness. By the way, I would tell you this. I think it's a sign of self-centeredness and pride when you and I are not willing to forgive. You know where it raises its ugly head most often? With those you love the most. Yeah. That's interesting because it's in the very church at Corinth that the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to him, he said, you're carnal. And he says, you know why you're carnal? Because there's fightings amongst yourselves. What's the problem? Unforgiving spirit. Aren't you glad God can forgive? Aren't you glad that you've been forgiven not only by God, but you have experienced the forgiveness of other Christians and other people? And isn't it a wonderful thing when you and I can learn to forgive others and not carry around that bitterness and that hatred and that pride and so forth? How glorious it is. I want to ask you two questions in closing this morning. Have you experienced the forgiveness of God? Do you know as a result of that where you would go if you died right now? I have been forgiven. I know that. How do you know it? How do I know it? Because I put my trust in Him to do so. In my case, I cried out to Him. I can claim the verse in Romans 10:13 that says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I called. I wanted it. I needed it. I believed Him. Have you experienced His forgiveness? But let me ask you one other question. Are you practicing forgiveness? Are you practicing it? You say, "But preacher, they deserved my wrath." Yeah, they do. You know what forgiveness is? It is believing what God said when He says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." It is saying, "God, I'm giving that vengeance to You. I'm forgiving it. I'm letting it go. You take care of it." Now, do not in your mind think, "Oh boy, God's going to do a really good job of this." Remember who God is. And if they seek His forgiveness, He will do it. So they'll never. Aren't you glad that you aren't? Aren't you glad you're not going to? It's letting it out of your... letting God take care of it. However He wants to. If they seek His forgiveness, praise God. And most likely, you know what will take place? It's called reconciliation. It is a good possibility. But if they don't, I'll guarantee you something. Let God take care of the vengeance. Give it to Him. Amen? Don't carry it around. Say, "Preacher, I have forgiven him, and then something happened and I grabbed that thing and I picked it up again." That was like the rock that hit Goliath between the eyes. We all know that one. Amen? I've been there. You've been there. I've had to go back and forgive again and again, because I've picked it up many times. There are some individuals that just really get me grabbing that thing back. I think they're God's gift to me to help me to learn forgiveness. I hate to admit that, but it's true. Have you been forgiven? Are you a practitioner of forgiveness? It's a beautiful place to be at. Amen. Great place to be at. Because no longer is your sin being held against you. And no longer are you holding it against somebody else. You know what we call that? Liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith God is. It is a beautiful spot to be. Oh God, today work in our hearts. I pray that You'd help us in this area. Lord, I need Your help in this area. Oh God, that first of all, for any in this room who have not experienced the forgiveness of God, I pray that this day they would look to You and experience that they might realize that You have taken their sin upon Yourself. You have taken the wages of their sin. You've died for them. And forgiveness is available if they'll but confess it to You. Lord, I pray this morning that we as Your people not only experience forgiveness of our brethren, but we might experience forgiving them as well. Oh God, that we not have those things that we hold within and we grow bitter, but God, that we might grow better. We might be more like You. We might emulate Your very being. God, work in our hearts this morning. We need Your touch. I pray Your will be accomplished in lives, and that we might walk from this place this morning free in the liberty that You want us in. Bless and work in hearts and lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.